You're listening to KTWH LP in Two Harbors, Minnesota, 99.5 FM and streaming on ktwh.org. I'm Zach Abella with your Youth Radio Initiative, and joining me in the studio is Dana Thewis from Community Partners. We will be discussing Give to the Max Day and Community Partners. Good morning, Dana, and thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
For those who may not understand what Give to the Max Day is, can you share with our listeners what that is?
Yeah, Give to the Max Day is Minnesota's largest online nonprofit fundraiser. This year is their 15th anniversary of the 24-hour giving marathon, which is on November 16th. But early giving is happening now. To participate, just go to givemn.org, and there you will find community partners and other nonprofits. Just type in the name or community you want to search using the search bar in the upper right-hand corner. The icon is a magnifying glass.
Thank you. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into Community Partners?
I have been in Two Harbors for 10 years. My husband's originally from here. We have four boys. Community Partners is an organization that serves folks 55 plus with services to help them remain in their homes. Basically, it's the age-in-place movement. And I am the program coordinator.
And what do you do there as a program coordinator?
The majority of my job is really volunteer coordination, recruit, train, and retain volunteers.
Sort of like a manager, perhaps.
Yes, of volunteers, absolutely. Yes.
What are some of the services Community Partners offers?
Yeah, so we do social events. Most of them are for folks 55 plus, but really pretty open to anyone who wants to attend. Like, we have a collaboration with the library that's Adult Game Day, happens Wednesday afternoons. And then as far as direct services, our care navigator and caregiver consultant does home visits and helps connect people with services throughout Lake County, and anything that they're, if they need help with, oh, I've got this financial thing, this medical thing, she is a library of information. Our volunteers provide services that are more direct volunteer to participant, and those include grocery shopping and delivery, medical rides, home visits, friendly visits, nothing hands-on. We don't do any like home health aid nursing stuff, but just check-ins. And then also our volunteers provide the Meals on Wheels deliveries Monday through Friday, and we have chore days. A lot of our volunteers for chore days come from the high school student groups.
That's good.
Yes, it's a fantastic way to engage a group that wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity. And then we have, specifically, we have a class at the high school who does grocery shopping on Wednesdays once a week. And they also deliver the Meals on Wheels Monday through Thursday to two of the apartment buildings. And then they do some mailing stuff for us. So greeting cards to volunteers for Halloween. They just sent a bunch of those out. Birthday cards, check-ins, just things. I want to be able to show appreciation to the volunteers. Our organization does as a whole. That's a part of my job. But addressing and writing thank you notes can sometimes be time consuming. And so although we really want to be able to show the appreciation, we have someone else who helps with that part. We also can have volunteers come in the office and do things like data entry or phone calls, reminders of events, stuff like that.
That's cool. If someone needed services from Community Partners, what criteria would they need to meet?
So basically, be 55 or older and live within our services area. Our service area is Knife River up to Gooseberry Falls and about 5 miles inland. That does vary some service to service. For things like caregiver support, caregiver consultant work, our caregiver consultant works with folks as long as the caregiver or the care recipient is over 55, and then one of them lives within our service area. Because something like caregiver support doesn't require a staff going to their home, it can be done over the phone or email, we can have a much larger service area. For something like Meals on Wheels, that service area is much more limited because doing those meal routes can take so much time. If we had volunteers driving up to Highway 3 every day to deliver meals, the time and mileage would add up really fast. And we do try to do some mileage reimbursement, and we can only afford so much, I guess. But generally, Knife River to Gooseberry Falls, 5 miles inland.
So you have sort of different service ranges depending on what, like, their needs that they need.
Yes, yep.
So a lot of virtual phone call stuff, you can maybe go further out.
Yes.
Which is cool.
Yes, and we have no financial specifications. People don't have to fall below the poverty line or be at a point where they can pay for services. We have a process for that that helps so that anyone can receive services. And it also removes that stigma when folks go, oh, but community partners, they only serve people who can't afford XYZ. That's not true. We serve anyone.
That's really good. So for all your volunteers, what type of funding does community partners rely on? And what would be your dream amount or goal that you're trying to raise for Give to the Max?
For Give to the Max, our goal would be $5,000. It feels like that might be a little unattainable, but we have some strong support in our community, and letting people know what's happening and getting the word out, we really think $5,000 is a doable amount. We also receive grants, and those include like funding from Lake County, Minnesota Live Well at Home, Arrowhead Area Agency on Aging, AEOA, the Duluth Superior Area Community Foundation, Love in Lake County, Lloyd K. Johnson Foundation, Land O'Lakes, and then some of our local businesses support us. We just received a grant from Louisiana Pacific. And then we work with businesses like the Two Harbors, well, I guess they're not a business, Two Harbors Library. We work with them on a lot of things. And then we have four businesses that help by volunteering. Salon 507, Harbor Insurance, and Co-op Light and Power deliver Meals on Wheels once a month and fill in when we have open routes. And then Amy Jordal, State Farm Agency, she delivers Thanksgiving meals. So for, I think, the past maybe 3 or 4 years now, she and her team have purchased 20 to 25 meals. And then on the Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, delivered them to some of our homebound folks.
So is the money that is raised through Give to the Max Day, would that be used differently than money, say, raised through grants?
Absolutely. So when we receive grants, we have to apply for those, give specifics on exactly how it's going to be used and where. We have to then collect the data, report back. It's a cumbersome and can be intense process. And a lot of grant funders state specifically, here's where and how you can use it. So my position and our care navigator, caregiver consultant, both of our positions are heavily grant funded. Our admin assistant and our director, who are both very necessary staff who we can't function without, not a lot of grants fund those types of positions because those are more, it's harder to show the outcome of what the money does. So for money, donations that are general fund or unrestricted is the term, such as Give to the Max Day, we can use those for things like our admin position, who does a lot of the planning for our social events and outreach, or our director, who does all of our grant writing. Without a director, our organization won't exist. So we can use those funds much more easily in the places we need right now.
So a fundraising type event would be a lot more useful than, say, a grant in putting it in certain areas.
Yes. And it, when we're looking to do something specific, we can find grants that do things. For example, we have a victory chorus that's going to be starting in January. So we're looking for singers and singing partners for that process, for that event. It'll be an 8-week thing. Our director specifically sought out funds for victory chorus. Now, along with victory chorus, we have admin and behind the scenes stuff that may not fit neatly in that grant request, but staff time is still used. We still have office that needs to be up and running to have the victory chorus. And so those sorts of things end up being fit in other places.
And it seems like Community Partners is a lot like KTWH in the sense that you rely on volunteers to help keep the programs going. How many volunteers do you currently have, and what are some of the services they help provide? I know you had mentioned like driving and shopping at
yes.
the supermarket.
Yes. Yep. We rely very heavily on volunteers. Throughout a year, we probably have around 150 folks that volunteer.
Oh, wow.
About half of those would be service groups that come in and do chores. So those aren't regular volunteers. They're not people that I can call up and say, hey, we have another chore day. So I'd say about 75 are folks that either are regularly providing the service, like a drive or a grocery shopping trip, and then our chore groups that come in from the high school, who, even though I may not reach out directly to a high schooler to say, hey, come do chore day, it's a couple dozen people that we know I call a couple of teachers and they're going to bring them in. Some of our regular volunteers volunteer multiple times a week. Some volunteer once a month at something specific like bingo, and some volunteer once a year at a seasonal chore day.
So if you're a volunteer, you can kind of pick your hours more or less?
Absolutely. Yes. People think, oh, if I volunteer, I have to be there every day. It's going to be like a full-time job. And that's not the case. I'm sure similar to KTWH, where here's what I'm available for. Here's where I really want to plug in. Here's what's meaningful to me. We want to make sure that those matches are made well.
So if someone was listening and they wanted to volunteer and help with community partners, well, what's the process to get started in that area?
My regular office hours are Monday through Thursday from 9 to 3, and they can just stop in the office and we can have a quick chat and I can set up a time to meet, or they can call our office phone number, which is 218-834-8024, and I'm extension 2, and they can chat with me over the phone. They can also go to our website and send something through the contact form. And the website address is www.communitypartnerstht2harbors.org.
That's really good. Do you feel like you need more volunteers as the winter starts and you're seeing a lot more snow?
We have a shift of the volunteer needs each season. So in the winter, as snow falls, ice accumulates, we absolutely have folks who need assistance with that, who can't scrape their driveway, scrape the sidewalk. It's really hard to assign volunteers to that sort of task since we meteorologists, weather people included, can't always predict the snowfall. So we will get calls at 9 a.m. saying, hey, I want to go to senior dining at 11. I need to get shoveled out. And my high schoolers that do snow removal are in school. My volunteers that are still working are at their jobs. We can't just create people to go do that. So in some ways, things like snow removal, if people just know, if you notice your neighbor needs assistance with that, go out and help. You don't have to be an official volunteer to be sent to be of assistance. Services like our grocery delivery program and medical rides, we do have participants who spring through fall are able to drive themselves. But then in the winter, because of road conditions and whatnot, they don't drive. And so we do see an increase in the number of requests as well as volunteers who are snowbirds. We have a few volunteers that will go south either November through March or January through April. So we do have an increased need for folks to kind of fill the gaps and sub in some of those.
And perhaps a decreased amount of volunteers because school's in and high schoolers can't really be there all the time. So you're really kind of lacking more when it comes to winter.
Yeah. Yeah. And we all feel the isolation and the effects of less sunlight, shorter daytime. And so even just the friendly visits, the friendly phone calls, those make a bigger impact to kind of fight against that isolation effect that happens when it's cold and we're not going outside.
And you don't even have to be like with community partners to, you know, say help your neighbor or just help out in the community.
Absolutely. The informal volunteerism helps support any organizations that use volunteers, because if somebody is helping their neighbor, that means that neighbor isn't calling us and needing a volunteer. I don't want to say that we want everyone to, you know, do all the things, because community partners exist because there is a need, because we have folks who don't have that support system. But yeah, any of those extra places where someone reaches out helps us all better our community.
Wow. Thank you for explaining that. That really helps with a lot of the, because I've seen community partners, you know, around town, but there's not really been a really good, solid background information about it.
Absolutely. It's great to have the opportunity to share it with you guys.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in. You've been listening to Zach from Youth Radio and Dana Theus of Community Partners. Dana, are there any other fundraising events coming up besides Give to the Max Day that you can share with our listeners?
Yes. December 9th, Saturday, December 9th, from 1 to 5, we are having our fundraiser at the Lakeview Hospital Community Room. I don't remember the exact title. And tickets are $40 and can be purchased at our office or online at our website. There's a specific link for our PayPal, and people can also select that box to pay the fees associated with PayPal. And so then I think it's $42. But that fundraiser's coming up. It'll be a lot of fun. Live entertainment, light refreshments, and mocktails.
That sounds awesome. Where is your office? Is it in town?
Yes, we are in the community building, 417 South Avenue.
Thank you. And thanks for coming in again. And if you'd like to contribute to Community Partners, please go to mn.org and make your contributions today or on November 16th. Thanks for listening.